Blog Talk Radio.
How are we doing today? I hope everyone is doing it amazing. I hope everybody is being safe. Well, we are in for a treat tonight. Hello, Andre. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You guys know the topic, and we are going to have fun. I put the chat number in the box in case anybody wants to join me. Thank you for joining me, Blog Talk and YouTube. I'm doing two shows at once, and I do appreciate everybody that has joined in or will join in, and everybody that will visit the show after it's done. I do appreciate you taking out the time. I do appreciate each and every one of you that wants to hear my little boring commentaries. I do appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much. The topic tonight, let me give Blog Talk the number in case Blog Talk wants to call in and listen. And that number is 563-999-3682. I'll do it again. It's 563-999-3682 in case my Blog Talk audience wants to listen in. You can listen in on that number. Also, for my YouTubers, come on in. I got the chat number, the StreamYard contact here. If you want to join, feel free to come on in and let's have a conversation. Okay, and the topic tonight is on Blog Talk, you have to put in the changing of the God. Which one are you? Okay, the changing of the God. In order to get on Blog Talk, this is what you have to type in first. And then it says House Negro or Field Negro. Which one are you? Ooh-wee, is that good or is that good? Okay, that's a question that I want to ask my my fellow black folk, because I'm seeing a lot of us turning against each other. I'm seeing a lot of us coming against each other, a lot of arguing amongst each other, fighting amongst each other. And I would think that at some point we would get to the point where we are trusting each other. Yes, I know we went through 400 years of hell. We went through 400 years of chaos and confusion. But at some point, we have to do better. At some point, we have to start appreciating each other. And at some point, we have to start loving on each other, okay? We've made excuses why it's okay. And, you know, we've got 1,001 reasons why, but it's not. Because it is time for us to come together, because we're all we got. We don't have anybody else. Nobody is coming to our rescue. Carmella, Biden, Trump, none of them is coming to our rescue, as you've noticed. If they were, they would have been there already. Because we've had Democrats, Republicans in office forever, and they've done absolutely nothing for us, and we're still looking for white supremacy to do something for us, and they're not. So let's stop waiting for them, and let's start doing for self. Did anybody see, this is really off the subject, but I had to bring it up because I'm so excited about it. It's the 19 families that bought land. Did anybody see that, right? Let's talk about that first. I know, I have to go there. It was in Tombstone, Georgia, but hold on, let me look it up. It's an amazing story, and I am so excited because 19 families bought 97 acres of land. Now, that is a start. I'm just going to say that's a start, and that is how we should be doing it now. Get some like-minded people. That's if you're going to stay in America, okay? Get you some land, but you know you're going to need a defense, you're going to need security, you're going to need that before you actually start building, because if you don't get the land, get the security, white supremacy is going to come, and they're going to do what they normally do. And they already fussing and cussing about it already, you guys. They are already talking about this, that these, you know, these white supremacy are already saying, they don't want them, near their land or near their homes and all this crazy stuff that they really don't want them to get, have the 97 acres, but it's already done. But I want to show you a picture of, it's just three of the members. I don't know if you guys will be able to see this, but I want to show you a picture of the family members. This is, and it is 19. Let me see. Maybe you can, it's the 19. Let me bring it back some so you guys can see it. It says the 19 black families purchased 97 acres of land to create safe city for black people. And that right there is something that we should be doing ourselves. You should be thinking about purchasing land with some like-minded people. And to read the story, it's like amazing. And I'm hoping that they could put – it's in Tombsboro, Georgia. I don't know anything about Tombsboro, but the group plans to build a new city in the area, okay? And I'm hoping that they would put, like, a school that they can also educate their own children and they could have their own clinic, their own hospital. I am just super excited. I think this is a start of something great. I think more black people are going to follow suit. We just needed to see somebody step out and do it. And Ashley Scott and Georgia-based realtor started the Freedom Georgia Initiative with a group of friends, okay? Our vision is to develop our vast, resource-rich 96.71 acres of land in Tombstone, Georgia, for the establishment of an innovative community for environmentally sustainable living, health and wellness, agricultural and economic development, arts and culture for generations to come. The group explains on their website. Now, they do have a website, and they are taking donations. So if anybody wants to donate, let me see if I can find that, because I think this would be a good place to donate. I think you can go up on that. Hold on. Where was it? I was just on it. Hold on. Let me see. It's called, hold on, you guys, the Freedom Georgia Initiative. Okay. I think that's the name of it if you want to donate. Okay. But I just wanted to read a little bit of this to you. Let me see here. Our aim is to be a premier recreational, educational, and cultural destination for Black families across America, across the African diaspora. We welcome you, your family, and all Black allies to support us in our vision to be the change we want to see. Now, I know that they had something this weekend, or last weekend, I should say, for Labor Day, and they called it camping. So a lot of people took their tents and stuff, and they had, you know, like a party, okay? And it was $89 to start, and I think that was for the two days. But if you want to do just one, I think it was another price. But I think this is an amazing idea. I hope that this would catch on, and I think we're getting back to where we need to be. I think it's been time for us to vacate, to separate totally, and it's just everybody's watching to see what's going to happen with this group. But I hope they're smarter than Black Wall Street, and I do believe that they need security right now to protect their land, because my thing is, I know they have insurance, but who wants somebody else to come on there? You know, why would you have an issue with Black folk being Black folk and having their own? Why would that bother you? I don't understand the backlash. They're getting a big backlash from having their own. I guess people are saying, well, why do you just want an all-Black community? I'm like, well, you have all white communities, right? So what's the problem with that? You want to have your own, but we can't have our own? Whatever. So in an op-ed for Blativity, Scott explains that the idea came after the death of Ahmaud Arbery, a Black man who was killed by a group of white men while out jogging. I sought counseling from a Black therapist, and it helped. It helped me to realize that what we as Black people are suffering from is radical trauma. We talked about that PTSD, remember? We talked about that, okay? But we are dealing with systematic racism, Scott wrote, okay? We are dealing with deep-rooted issues that will require more than protesting in the streets. It will take us for us as a people, as Atlanta rapper and activist Killer Mike so eloquently put, to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. So that's what I and my good friend Renee Walters and entrepreneurs and investors did, okay? So he's like an investor, so they have their own business and stuff. We consider the reality, and I think they're going to not try to do the bank. I think they're going to try to do it by donations. So if you guys can, look this family up and support. Let's do something new. If they said everybody for a million people give, like, I think it was like $10 or something like that, they would have what they need, because they're trying to get $1 million up so that they can do what needs to be done on this land, okay? And I'm sure it's going to take more than that to develop to do what they're trying to do. But I think if you have a few dollars that you can, and they do have a Cash App, and I'll give you that Cash App also. We consider the reality that even in Atlanta, with an exceptional Black woman like Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, I don't agree that she's all of that. I don't think she's as great as what they're saying. But that's what they, because sometimes we're not as woke as we should be, but they're doing a good move. So let's just, you know, leave it at that. There was still no respect for the humanity of Blacks. That even with Erica Shields, a Black woman chief of police at the helm, there was the murder of Rayshard Brooks. We can see there is something much deeper happening. Politics as usual isn't the answer. Something new has to happen, okay? We discovered the viral post about Toonsboro, Georgia, for sale, and we joined several Facebook groups discussing building Black cities and new Black Wall Streets, and we are here for it, Scott explained. It was clear to me that developing a new city was necessary because these old ones, even with strong Black leadership, have too many deep-rooted problems, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Which one are you, Field Negro or the House Negro? And we got a whole lot of boule, and what is the category? How do you recognize the Field Negro and the House Negro? We are going to, and this is what he's talking about. He said, even with strong Black leadership, have too many deep-rooted problems. And what he's saying, they sold us out. And you know Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the Steve Harveys, the Oprah Winfrey,
Those are the boule and those are the house Negroes, and those are the ones that have sold us out. Even your pastors have sold you out. So we have to understand what's really going on here. Let's keep reading. I just really wanted to touch on this a minute. Today with Renee Walters, an entrepreneur, Investor Scott, attended local city council and zoning meetings. They then assembled a group of 19 families and purchased the land. We figured we could try to fix a broken system, or we could start fresh, okay? I think the will has been created. You can use that will, but you can use it for your black benefit. You understand what I'm saying? Scott wrote, start a city that could be a shining example of being the change you want to see. Isn't that a great idea, you guys? I am just so elated. I had to bring this up today. I'm so glad that I remembered to do it because I had it on my list. We wanted to be more involved in creating the lives we really want for our black families, and maybe just maybe create some generational wealth for ourselves by investing in the land, investing in creating a community that is built around our core values and beliefs. But you have, like he said, you have to get some people with like-minded. You can't have heathens. You can't have wild ghetto-ness going on and you trying to buy land with some ghetto folk. You have to pretty much have the same mentality, the same heart, a B1 heart, and you have to be very careful and be able to recognize the boules. You won't have a bunch of boules that you're living around. I'm just saying, okay, a bunch of house Negroes. Scott plans for the land include black farmers, vendors, and contractors. So he is looking for contractors. So if you need a job, if you don't have, and he's using black contractors, if you need a job, you need to contact him, okay? Amidst land developing affordable housing for yourself, build your own food system, build manufacturing and supply chains, build your own homeschool communities, build your own banks and credit unions, build your own city, build your own black police departments, tax yourselves, and vote in a mayor and city council. You can trust. That is amazing, you guys. Build it from scratch, then go get all the money the United States of America has available for government entities and get them bonds. This is how we build our new Black Wall Street. This is amazing, you guys. Oh, my God. I am just ecstatic. This is great. I'm serious. I am so elated that they're doing this. They do have an IG page, and I'm trying to find it now. Freedom, hold on, let me see. Their IG page is, I'm going to give it to you now so that you can, if you want to keep up with them. It's Freedom Georgia 2020, and that's the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And they have a website, www.thefreedomgeorgiainitiative.com, okay? And they have the land. They have the pictures on here. So this might be, I do follow them. And I'm trying to see. Let me give you their I'm going to go into their website and see if I can pull up their how you can support them. Okay, and I did go into the IG page, be the change that you want to see. And then they have like a little website. I'm going to kind of show you on here a little bit. They have like a little website. They have their vision. And then they have you can scroll up. And they have the mission about them and what they're trying to do. And let me see. And then they show you some stuff they're trying to do. And they have a little garden on there. Okay. And Big Black Component, continue reading, the benefit of being outdoors. Okay, that was there. And they have, like, different things that they're doing. And they do have an $88,000 fundraiser, raising funds to help bring amenities to our new acquired land for our big black camp out. And they just asked for $8 for this, get all the details. They do have a GoFundMe, and it's gf.me, okay? And then you put your contact. Let me see. I'm trying to see what is their I do have their Instagram. Hold on. I want to see if I can get their Instagram. A Freedom Georgia Initiative. Okay, let me see. Where to? I was trying to see if they had it on here. Menu. Let me go into the menu and see if they have it. Then that way I can see. our partners. Let's see what our partners, maybe it's in our partners, but I think this is an amazing, it's just so, I'm like, wow, this is great. But I do have their Cash App. I'm going to give it to you right now. I did put it in here, I think. Let's see if I put it in here. Let's see if I can pull it up. Hold on, you guys. Oh, Lordy, I'm trying to see. I don't think I put it in here. Oh, my God. Well, if you go up on their website, if you pull up the 19 families, they do have a Cash App that you can support. And I do believe that it is a tax write-off. And I think it would be something great if you guys would just think about doing that. And it's time for us to support our own. I do believe that you know, if we don't, who's going to support us? I mean, nobody else is going to support us, so we do have to do it for ourselves. We're looking for other people to do it for us. They're not going to do it for us. So, if you have a couple dollars, a few dollars, why don't you just go ahead on and bring it on and then do what you need to do, you know, bring those dollars in. Because guess what? You may want to do one day, and you may need somebody to support you. So, you go ahead on and bring them dollars to the table, and let's do what we need to do. I was trying to find it. I was trying to find the page for you so I could kind of tell you the website, but it's not working for me. Okay, don't worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. It'll be fine. Well, anyway, I think that's really amazing. And if it's called the 19 families, if you want to read the article I just read, to kind of get more information, because you can, you know, put your email in there and they'll give you the updates as far as what they're doing. And I hope, you know, and this is another thing with us, and it really bothers me, because sometimes we do get jealous. And I think, I don't even know if we really, I know we get jealous, but I don't know if we really know that that's what we're doing. Because you could see things as far as when the NFC rose up and he was trying, and he still is trying to do something for black people, and how many of us actually came against him, and more of us came against that young man than white folks, which I think is very sad. And they have, they have emails and YouTube channels about him and everything else. And I'm like, why? Why do we waste our time doing that? I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I don't like it. And every time I see it, I have a comment. I tell them about them together. And we don't have to. You know what? It's sad that white folks don't. They don't have to come against us. We'll come against ourselves, which is so sad. And I think it's pathetic, because we don't need to be. We don't need to continue doing that. We can. You know, I guess the KKK look at us and say, we don't have to do anything for them. They'll do it to themselves. And that's what we do. We will tear down each other. And white folks look at us like, dang, we ain't have to say nothing. We ain't have to do nothing. They did it for us. And it's sad. So we got to start. We got to retrain our thinking and retrain our heart, because I think we're so damaged right now that we automatically go there. We can see a black person in a store, and we automatically, I'm not speaking to her, but I'm the first, we automatically go there. And we have to control this, renew this, and do better, because we know what we're doing. But you know what? I don't even know. I shouldn't even say that, because I think that we've been so wounded and we've been trying to please white folks for so long that if you don't have that B1 heart or that B1 mindset, you have to have a B1 heart first. And then you automatically get the B1 thought. Because right now, I don't think about anything else, anybody else but us, but black folks, for me. And I was watching somebody today on YouTube, and she was talking, and she, you know, talking about black folk, and then she turned around and started talking about a little white girl. And I said, that's not my concern. And right then I was done, because my thing is, we have so much going on with us. I don't think we have any room to be discussing anybody else. I don't think we have any time to be thinking about anybody else but us right now. We've given them enough time. We've given them enough attention. Now, this right here It's our reset, and this is our time to get ahead, and this is our time to do what Yah has placed on our heart to do. If you, now I know, you know, it's a big deal. My thing, I'm not trying to build anything in America. They won't get another dime of my money. I'm just sorry. But if you are thinking about staying here, I think you should be thinking about getting you some property and doing the same thing, getting you some people that can, you know, give, that can help you and do what you just saw this family do, okay? Because we can't sit up here and keep complaining, but we're not doing anything. That's not going to work. We have to continue training. We have to continue building, and we have to continue doing what we know is right. Trying to get on my page so I can make sure that everything is okay. I just wanted to pull it up because I want to make sure that we're on here. But I wanted to also talk about there is a scripture. How do we recognize? Let's first talk about that. How do we recognize the coons? How do we recognize the house Negroes and the field Negroes? The house Negroes had more. They got away. They ate better than the field Negroes. The house Negroes dressed better. They hung up. I think they had a better relationship with Massa because they hung up under him and they spent more time with him than the field Negroes. And the house Negroes were more looked out for Massa. And they were the ones that would listen out and hang out with you. They looked like us. But they were the Al Sharptons. They were the Jesse Jacksons. They would come into our communities, find out what we were doing, and then they would go back and tell because they were trained by Master. They were trained how to think. They were trained how to talk. They were trained how to look black but not be black. They were trained how to look black but not act black. They were trained how to look black but not think black. So they pretty much took them and molded them and made them. Yes, they had our skin, but they didn't have the inside. They didn't have the B1 heart. They didn't have the heart out the black folk. They had a master's mindset. They had a master, you know, when master's house was on fire, excuse me, what they say, master our house on fire? Or either when, you know, but the field Negro, if the house was on fire, they would look at the house and be like, I hope it burned down. I ain't going up there. And that's just the mindset that I had. I would have been out there in the fields, so I would have been like, let that house burn down. I'd have probably been one trying to set it fire. I'm just saying. But I think we have to start recognizing that just because somebody is black, if they don't sound like they have a heart after us, after each other, if they don't have a heart after black folks, then that's not somebody that we want to pull into our corner and say, hey, let's try to do this, this, and this. That's not somebody you want to hang out with. So now I think we have to start recognizing, okay, like the Oprah. Okay, like the Steve Harvey, like the pastors. And it's a shame to say, but a lot of our pastors have sold us out. And I remember reading something about Martha Sanger, and Martha Sanger was the woman that came up with Planned Parenthood. And what she said was, we have to get with the black pastors. Even though she didn't like black people, she was willing to put that hatred that she had aside for us just for a minute to hook up with the black pastors and get them to convince their congregants to go and have abortions. That she really did. Okay, and people don't. Yes, yes. But you have to understand, with Margaret Sanger, she was willing to give up, set everything aside, and to partner up with black pastors. And I remember hearing a story where one guy had put money, like thousands of dollars aside, and he would actually donate to Planned Parenthood and told the nurse there that make sure that this money goes toward a black person. This is how much they hate black women. He actually didn't want to see any black babies being born. So he donated so much money to Planned Parenthood, and his only stipulation was that that money went to a black person. That's what he told them. He said, I'm going to give this money to you guys, but I only want it to go to black babies. And that's how much hate. They have so much hate for us, and we look at them, and we're so dumb, we don't even know. You know how you mad at somebody? And we don't even know they're mad at us, and we just be talking to them, and we think, oh, my, they got, you know, we think they got us, and we think they're our friends. These people have never liked us. These people have always been horrible toward us. Remember the flight when you would get into their neighborhood, and they would move out, and we would, you know, and we would move You know, they would go over here, we would go over there. They would go over here. It was almost like we was always following behind them. But every time it would be a couple of us or a few of us, guess what? They would move. So they never integrated with us. And people always say, well, when I talk about us totally separated from them, you know, from white supremacy, they go, Kathy, you try to take it back to, you know, back to like the 60s. I'm like, yeah. I said, because guess what? I said, when you move in their neighborhood, they move from you. I said, we're the only ones that's been singing Kumbaya. We're the only ones that forgive. We're the only ones we're the only ones that want to be friends with them. They're not trying to be friends with us. They're not even trying to understand us. They're not even trying to get to know us. Because I went on somebody's page, and they was, Jacob. They were talking about Jacob Blake. And I don't know what really happened. You know, I heard one story. I heard something else. I'm not really sure what went down. But they have some, you know, they always come up with another story, just like with Brianna. With Brianna, they was trying to make the DA say that she was, the DA, the general, he was trying to get the guy that she used to go date for him to say that she was in on what she was one of his partners, you know, in his, you know, his drug, whatever. And he said no. And he said, I'm not going to do it because he loved to be. I believe he really cared for her. That's why he wouldn't do it. And they was going to let him get probation because they was offering him 10 years. And they said, you'll give you 10 years, they'll give you probation if you just said that she was in on the drug heist. Okay? And the guy said no. And then he went and told his lawyer, so the lawyer leaked it out. But then they also came up with a story as far as she was concerned and leaked it to the press. But have you noticed that anytime something happens to us and they're responsible, the police officers are responsible, they always try to ruin your or make you dehumanize you or ruin your character. And that's what they did for George Floyd. Remember that a medical examiner, he came up with this false medical exam and said, oh, it wasn't because the cop had the knee on his neck. It was because he had had some opiates or something in his system. Remember that? Yeah, they always, and they did that with Brianna. They did that with, even with the Aubrey kid. They was trying to say some stuff. But they always do that. Anytime the cop is guilty of murdering us, they want to take the attention off of the cop and put it back on us and dehumanize us to make us say, oh, she deserved it. That really bothered me was that when I heard black folks coming against this girl. And I'm looking at them like, that's your own. Why is it that we always go against our own for them? They can say one word, even when Kobe died, these devils were coming against Kobe and they were saying all kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, that boy did that 10 years ago. Why is that even important right now? What about Trump? Let's talk about Trump and let's talk about his wife. Let's talk about his wife, how she was a hoe and she was a stripper, right? Was she not, you guys? But does anybody remember that? I remember a couple of my, this church I used to go to, I went up on their website, and one of the girls happened to say, had a picture of Ivanka, Trump's, Trump wife, the fourth wife. I think it's the fourth or the fifth, the one he got now, okay? We ain't talking about the others, we talking about the one he got now, okay? The foreign lady, the one that you can't even understand her English. Now, I heard them say, she's so respectful, she's this and the other. And I said, she's a hoe, y'all, okay? She was a hoe. When she married him, she was a stripper. He married a freaking stripper. So what is that? Now you got a stripper as a first lady, okay? How respectful is that? Why would I want to look up to a hoe? Why would I want to look up to a stripper? She's a stripper. Let's be honest. Why is it that they can qualify to do anything? But I guarantee you, if Michelle was a hoe or she was a stripper or she worked in a strip club, honey, he wouldn't have never been able to run for president. I'm just saying. I'm so sick of this double-edged, this double jeopardy stuff. You know, they double standards. You know, they can do whatever they want. Just like that 17-year-old thug terror whose mom actually drove him to the incident, okay? Why did they not bring her up on charges? His mom and his dad need to be brought up on charges. The cop that waved him and gave him water needed to be brought up on charges because he was 17. He had a weapon, and he was in the midst of a crowd, and he should have been arrested right then and there. But my thing is, he was allowed to have a weapon, but the guy with the knife or the guy that was walking down the street that the police walked behind him for half a mile, they said he had a weapon. I didn't see a weapon in his hand, but, you know, they're going to say he had a weapon to make it okay, dehumanize while we shot him. They always wanted to dehumanize us, but that 17-year-old thug was able to walk, talk, and go back home, okay, after killing two rioters and still went to bed and went home and went to bed and got up and wasn't arrested until the next day. But guess what? Jacob wasn't even allowed to get in his truck because they wanted to get some information trying to see if he had any felony or warrants. My thing is, if I'm, are you detaining me? What are you detaining me for? And if you're not, keep walking. This is why it is important, families, know your rights, okay? Know the laws of your state, what you can do and what you can't do, even with your weapon, okay? Because everybody on here should have a weapon right now, by now. Everybody should have your bullets. Everybody should have you stocked up on water and food and stuff right now. But my thing is, when the police come, are you detaining me? No? Okay, then I'm leaving. But my thing is, if you're detaining me, I don't have to answer no questions. Are you detaining me? Yes, you're detaining me. Okay, then I'm going to sit on the ground and I'm going to sit right there and I'm not going to answer no questions because I'm pleading the fifth. I don't have to answer any questions. If I didn't do a crime, you didn't witness me doing a crime, so why are you holding me? So my thing is, Jacob, I don't know if his kids was in the car or not, but my thing is, I would have never tried to get in the car because I wouldn't have gave them a reason to try to shoot me. Sometimes we have to think things out, but I think he was just trying to get away, you know, just to get out of the atmosphere, get away from them, period, because he already knew what KKK blue, the racist KKK in blue, bring death. But then when they come, they bring death. So I think he kind of knew that. But my thing is, I wouldn't have said nothing to him. I wouldn't have answered no questions. I don't hear nothing. I'll change the fifth. I would just ignore them. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what, Andre, I've been having a hard time finding ammo. I mean, you know, we try to, you know, just try to stack up. But there's a website that we need to, you know, that I've even tried to go on, that I've looked in the book, you know, and to see. But it's so hard to find ammo right now. And then I did find some. They wanted like $40 for a box. And I'm like, oh, my God, You know I'm too cheap for that. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So I may have to make my own. I don't know how to make. I'm just kidding. But my thing is, we have to stop with all this craziness, okay? And I'm going to tell you what. When they got on Breonna, they started talking so negative that black folks jumped on the bandwagon. And it bothered me so bad. We have to get to the point where if we see them disrespecting one of ours, you are to protect your own at any cost. I don't care. You better not say one word. When they come and be negative about somebody that's deceased, you had a lot of people that will say, oh, my God, she was a drug addict. They will tell a lie, and them white devils will jump on that lie and want to believe the worst of us. Always. I don't care what we do. They always believe the worst. But then they're those thugs. They can kill people and get away. They had a church, a Christian charity, a Christian, was it a charity or a church that is backing this boy that has donated money to him, and they are backing him. But my thing is, what is the problem? But you have to understand, we don't serve the same God. We serve two totally different gods than white folk do. Y'all do know that, right? Okay, y'all do know that, right? Okay. We have to, you know what, I want to read. Let me see. When we talk about the house Negroes and the field Negroes, after you recognize them, how are you supposed to be with them? Let's talk about that, because are we supposed to be friends with them or not? When we find out that we have an Amber, or when we have a Candace Owen or a Joy Reid or Angela, when we have a Steve Harvey or Oprah Winfrey or Roland Martin, when we have those, are we really supposed to be hanging out with them? Can you feel safe hanging out with a house Negro? For me, if a field Negro and a house Negro, if you got the boulets, they're a little different. Those people will get you killed. And I want you to understand how serious it is even trying to be friends with them, because a lot of them have white friends, okay, so-called friends. They don't understand who their friends are. They've been around white folks for so long because they are no threat and they're safe around white folks. So, therefore, they think, oh, they're really my friend. But for real, I ain't never met a white person that's really down for you like that. Because when it comes, when it's time for them to stand up for you, they won't. When one of them come and say, oh, you hanging out with one of these, they will kill them for hanging out. They will kill their own for hanging out.
so you know what they'll do to you. We have to, let's not forget who our friends are. Let's not forget that we cannot call people that was raised with racism, raised in racism, raised to believe that black folk were less than, raised to believe that black folk was what, three-fifths? That was raised to believe. You cannot call them friends, even if they say, well, you know what, my dad and mom were racist or they were really racist, but I'm not. I don't buy that. I do not buy that. I don't believe it because I believe when it comes down to you or them, or when one of them comes to them and say, hey, this is your friend, and they're trying to hurt you, I guarantee you they're not going to stand up for you. I don't care what nobody says. You can believe that lie if you want to, because I've had friends, I've known people that will say, oh, I have white friends, and I'm like, no, you don't. You don't. And see, this is the sad part about it, because we're not helping our children to recognize who their enemies are and who their friends are. So guess what? They're going around calling white folk friends. No, we have to not fail to realize and not fail to teach our children who our enemies are. Who do we call enemies? And when they meet one, and you have to automatically know. You don't trust them automatically. They have to earn your trust. And my thing is, I don't even want my granddaughter playing with them. I just don't. I don't want her being bothered, because guess what? They always, always, always teach and train their children that they are better than, and they will treat your child less than. And I told my granddaughter, they are not somebody you want to be friends with. They are not somebody you want to hang with. They are not somebody you want to even call friends. And I'm trying to teach her that, because I don't want her to trust the wrong person. I don't want her to trust thinking that they got her back, thinking that they're going to have her when she gets in trouble. And you know what? We're to the point where black folk are not even distinguishing or helping our children to understand or teaching our children who our enemies are. So I've seen a little boy, and I've seen some kids, and they, you know, hang around, little white kids here. Oh, that's my friend, whatever, whatever. And I'm looking, and I'm like, I just want to tell them. But when my granddaughter says, I'll be like, sweetheart, let me just tell you, they will never be friends. You cannot ever call white folk friends. I told you about an incident at work where, white girl came to me, and we were talking one day, and she said, Cassie, do you like white folks? Do you find, what? And she was talking about the area of work, and she said, is there one here? And I said, do you really want the answer to that? Because I'm going to tell you, because you really don't want me to tell you the answer. But I said, but because you asked, let me tell you. I said, heck, no. I said, no, I don't trust any of them, not even you. And she looked surprised, like, I don't bite my tongue for them. I don't. It's because you asked, I want to educate you on black folk, because I know some of them have not met a real black person like me. They probably met more house Negroes than field Negroes. Let me help you to understand, and let me help you to recognize what the difference is. And they understand that I think different, I look different, I see things different. I don't see things as the normal house Negro does. I don't. I see it totally different. I see the glass half full and not half empty. I see things better and to another level. I don't sit up here and try to sweet talk or say stuff that's not going to hurt their feelings. I don't care if it hurts their feelings. They know. Say what I mean. I mean what I say, and I say it not trying to protect their feelings, because that's what, they don't try to protect yours. They say what they want to say, and they do what they want to say, and they don't care. So why should I? And I want us to get to the point where we are understanding the difference. When is it, and how do we recognize, and how is it that when we say that these people are somebody that you're going to count on, can you really count on them? Are they really somebody that you should even think that you can count on? And when I hear people saying that, it bothers me, because I'm like, you're not recognizing who your enemy is. I have a guy at work. He's an African. This is my African friend. I talk about him all the time because he's a great guy. And you have a lot of black people treating him bad. And I call this the house Negro, because they treat him, because white folks have talked bad about him because he's from Africa. That's the only, and they treat him bad too. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm looking at this and I'm like, really? And I've seen three incidents. A black girl, a black lady at work that was treated bad, right? And I'm looking at her and I'm like, why are you doing that in front of white folk? I hate that. I will not disrespect one of mine in front of another culture. I'm just not going to do that, because they love to see that. And then I told you I had another white girl that would come up to me, and she was trying to talk back about him to with me. And I looked at her and I said, I'm not the one. I don't talk against my own, especially with white folks. I said that. And she looked at me weird because I'm trying to show them and help them to understand that I'm not one of them. I'm not one of blue lady girls. I am not gonna be one that's gonna talk against my own and praise you. I'm not doing that. I just can't stand that. And to see black folk going against this man because he's African, because he's very intelligent, but sometimes he don't want to work. He won't work hard. He said, I worked for 25 years. He said, I did mine already. I don't have to do that now. I'm toward the end. I'm going to chill my last 3 or 4 years that I'm here, and I'm not working hard. And he don't. And he'll tell you, I've been here. I did mine. I did my share. I used to work like a dog and then, and get treated like one. But the different supervisors, what they do, they run their mouth about me. So they put him out there, and then the other supervisors join in. And I hate that when other folks join in on what's going on in the midst. They don't really know a person, but you have supervisors talking, and they really have not dealt with him. So they're going along with the program because of what somebody has told them about this person, not getting to know that person for themselves. So I got on one of my supervisors. She said, when I first got there, she said, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And I said, don't do that. I said, you should allow people to get to know that person for themselves. I said, you supervisors, y'all talk amongst each other. I said, and that's not right. I said, because one supervisor may have a bad incident with another person, and because it could have been something personal, or it could have been because that supervisor had a bad day, or that person had a bad day, or whatever. I said, but you should allow that next person to come in contact with that person and have a fresh, clean about that person and not experiencing your situation or your incident with that person. Let that person come to their own conclusion about that other person. So I don't like jumping on the bandwagon, and I don't like getting in groups and teams and stuff, but I hate when we as black folk don't know how to treat each other in front of white folk, and I hate getting on like different things on Facebook, and it'll be different questions, and you have black folk going back and forth against each other. And I just tell them, hey, this is my opinion. This is what it is. This is what I think, but I'm not going to go against. I will never go against my own, especially online. I think that there's a time and a place for that, and I want us to start teaching white folk how to respect us. But if we don't respect each other and we're going against each other, because they'll back out the conversation and let these two black folk go against each other and be arguing against each other, I don't like that. I will back down. I will back out of the conversation and keep moving because I don't want them to see us coming together, coming against each other. And I want them to see a difference in black folk, the new. I want them to see the new black folk. I want them to see where we're coming together and we're sticking together and we're hanging together and we're not going against each other. And I think this is something that we need to work on purpose in our black community, how not to go against each other. Even if you don't agree with what somebody's saying or doing, even if you don't, just like Bill Cosby, I don't agree with everything he did, but I'm not going to disagree because guess what? I think that case was full of crap. I think they put him in jail just because. I think that that woman was stalking him. I think she knew she wasn't it. She was checking everywhere he went. She was there for a reason. But I think they did that because, something personal. It was personal. And even with R. Kelly, I'm not going to say I agree with him. I don't agree with anything that he did, but I would never go against him in front of white folks. I would never, ever, ever do it. I'm not agreeing. I don't agree with what he did. I don't agree with the behavior. I think the parents were wrong also. I think he had some emotional issues and PST and all this other stuff going on, but I would never go against, they never go against their own for us. Just like the 17-year-old, they have never said anything negative about him. They're all backing him. I read so many comments. It was thousands, 100,000 comments, and not one of them was negative. Not one of them was condemning the mom. Not one was condemning the dad. Not one was condemning him. Everybody was saying, oh, we're going to defend him. You have attorneys coming out for woodwork. Defending him. So I'm learning. I mean, I'm looking at that and I'm learning. I mean, I'm like, y'all ain't going to get y'all. Why? But most black people, like most black folks will say, well, when you see it, you call it out. We ain't going to call it out in front of white folks. I could care less. I don't want to talk about somebody else's stuff, especially if it's my brother or my sister. I'm not going to discuss their issues, our issues, family issues with them. What goes on in our family should be amongst us. And white person that has something negative to say on a black person's page or NFAC, they talk about him all the time, right? And it's negative sometimes. And I say, I jump on them. I don't care what. I will not ever have anything negative to say about my brother. I don't have none. That's his work. If God gave him that work, then God bless you. Let me just tell you how I really believe in NFAC was I read a scripture, and it was Exodus 2. I want to read something to you because I want us to help. I want us as black folks to understand everybody is going against this man for a reason. But you have to understand, when Moses was freeing and bringing Israel out, which that's who we are, do you not know there were people that were going against Moses? Even as he walked us through the 40 years, and we walked through the desert, they were still complaining. But I want to read something to you. It's through the second chapter of Exodus, and it was 11, verse 11. And when Moses killed that one guy, right? And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day beyond, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him, "That did the wrong. Wherefore smite thou fellow?" Okay, and I guess he was asking why he killed a person. And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou hast killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Nobody even seen him. But I guess one guy seen him because the guy that he was beating on saw him kill the dude, right? But instead of that man keeping his mouth shut and covering his brother, he went and told, they started talking amongst themselves. So in the black community, they started talking about what Moses had did. But you know you had a coon, you know you had a bootleg, you know you had one of them house Negroes that went and told Pharaoh what Moses had done. But there's others, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention because even back then we was doing it. Even back then we was going against each other. Even back then. So I think about Grandmaster and how when God, even now, when God is trying to get him to move us into another area, they're still coming against this man. And I'm like, are you guys serious? Why are we supporting him? I cannot understand it. I cannot get it in my mind. Why would they be so harsh on him? Is it because they're not used to black folks sticking together and they're not used to somebody black sticking up for you? Is that what it is? This man is sticking up for black folks. And you got black folks jumping on his case because he's sticking up for it. Am I missing something? Because I must be missing something because I don't understand. Why are we coming against our brother again? Why are we having so much to say against him? Why are we so hard on him? This man is sticking his neck out for us, and we won't cover him. That's just like the guy, Howard. Okay, but how he stuck his, we talked about that. He stuck his neck out for black folk in Georgia. And those black folk chopped his neck off, and they turned against him and voted for the Willis lady, the Sandy Willis, who the police union is supporting. So do you actually believe that she's going to do something for black folks? We are so confused. The very one that you should have been supporting, you turn around and supported the bootleg, the house Negro. The field Negroes are supporting the house Negro. And I'm looking at them like, the house Negro is working for NASA. NASA, the police union paid for her to run. The attorney of the police officer donated to her campaign. So already there's an integrity issue. So already she's bought. So already she owes them favor. So already she's going to do what they want her to do because she's working for them. So why didn't Georgia understand that? Why didn't Georgia see what was going on and them support Paul Howard to make sure that he was going to see through
the police officer getting the charges. So now I'm sure those charges are dropped. I guarantee you those charges are dropped. I guarantee you. Nobody said anything, but I'd be willing to bet that those charges against the Rayshard Brooks, the police officer that shot him, they was, you remember Paul Howard brought him up on felony charges. Stuff a lot, okay? And those white folks was mad, but they had told him, we're going to get you out of office. But instead of black folks supporting him because he did such an amazing job of protecting us and sticking his neck out, they didn't do it. But they gave him. That's how off code we are as black people. I'm just saying, Georgia, you got a problem. Georgia, you have an issue. And I hope black folk will get it together. Just like that one guy said, Keisha Downs, Keisha, whoever over there in Georgia, the mayor, I think she is boule. I think she's not doing enough for black people. When you come on there trying to fuss at black people because we're frustrated and upset and they're not, I don't think they were tearing up the city at the time. But if they were, but I think Antifa was doing a lot of that also. But I think that she should have came on and supported us. Not to say that she, you know, pleased with us, you know, rioting. We weren't doing the work. She knew who was out there doing what. And I think Antifa was doing more of the damage than black folks. She should have sympathized it more and understood why we was going through and why we were protesting the way we were. And I'm not even saying I do agree with protesting because I don't. I believe about our situation just like now. I believe that we should be doing something about our situation just like those 19 family members are, and we're not. So, I told my neighbor, I said, when a next person died, I don't want to hear it. I'm not looking up nothing. I think it was somebody that died today or yesterday, was shot last night by a police officer. I'm not looking it up. I don't want to see it. I'm not putting any more of those police incidents in my spirit. I'm not going to watch another brutal murder. I think that right there sows seeds of fear, and that's why they keep showing it, but people keep spreading it, and we keep spreading it, and we keep spreading it, and that draws fear, and that draws more fear, and it puts more fear, and it puts more fear in the atmosphere, and the more we watch police brutality, the more fearful we get. So I'm not watching. I don't want to see any more killings. I don't want to see any more sacrifices, and that's what it seems like to me. It seems like it's a sport. It's a sport. They're never threatened by. They're never threatened by other white armed, but they're threatened by unarmed black men. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. So, I remember another thing when it was Marcus Garvey, and when he was starting to free black folk. Remember when Marcus Garvey was trying to do? He had bought the ship, and you know he was getting ready to move black folk. Excuse me, you guys. My lips got a little chapped. He was getting ready to free black folk. Remember Marcus Garvey wanted to take folks back to Africa. Who was the one, okay, that came against him and started the NAACP? Okay, W.E. Du Bois, right? Him and W.E. Du Bois came, you know, he came against Marcus Garvey big time, okay? But he was bootleg, right? He was Marcus Garvey up. He was paid by white folks to come against Marcus Garvey. He was paid. And this is what they do. They often pay the bootlegs to interfere, to integrate, to come in between the mix of it, and they divide and conquer, or they bring confusion, or they come against the plan, and they bring confusion with them, okay? And that's what the Boulets are paid to do. That's what the House Negroes are paid to do. The House Negroes are there to come out there and spy and see what are slaves doing. Are they planning any coups? Are they planning uprisings? Are they planning escapes? Are they planning, you know, just like Harriet Tubman. She was like, hey, I had to kill some people because them niggas didn't even know that they were slaves. I could have freed a whole lot more if they had known that they were slaves. That's what she said. That's sad, but I can believe it. But that's the curse that we're under. You have to understand that's part of the curse. That's part of the Deuteronomy 28 curse that we are up under right now. I'm not going to be on here long, family. I'm just going to be on here about 30 more minutes, so you guys will stay with me. Probably not even that long. I just wanted to in and out. Blog Talk, I do appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. But I just wanted you guys to understand and how to recognize, just like that Turner, he had some people that were house Negroes, and he also had some field Negroes that was in there that was so trying to lick up and nestle up to master that's how he ended up getting killed, or his, you know, his little escapade of murdering white folks got, you know, came to a halt because he had somebody in his group that was, you know, trying to get those extra biscuits or extra pie, extra apple, extra something that so many promised black folks that turned against each other. Because just like Al Sharpton, he turned against Martin Luther King. You had Marcus Garvey. You had some people that was with him that turned against him. You had Jesse Jackson. You had who else that came against? I'm sure Malcolm X had some people. Of course, you had what was the security guard in the Black Panthers? All of these people were Boule. All of these people were paid by white folk to infiltrate. All these people, and that's how the COINTELPRO gets started. They paid black folk. The first FBI that was in with the Black Panthers, what was that dude's name? He was paid to infiltrate the Black Panthers. And somebody said something. If you're not careful, the new will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. That is amazing. I think they said Obama said, Malcolm X said that. But my thing is, we have to start understanding how dangerous it is to have the Boule around. You have to be very careful, even when you're talking to them, even when you think you're friends with them, not to give them too much information. But we have to start recognizing, and I think that's the problem. Black folks, just because we're black, we think, and we thought this for years, just because we saw a black person, that person had your back. Because they were black, that we were, we were good. And because that person talked like they was black or didn't even say much, was just in the group, but didn't even have to talk that in there, you thought they were cool. But we never really recognized who our enemy was and who they were using to come against us to tear things down. And sometimes, so often, they would use your own brother, your own cousin, your own dad, your own somebody that looked just like you. That's what we have to start recognizing. Even when this family, this 19 family that's coming together now, they have to be very careful who is in that group that does not have that best interest at heart. If they have a person in that group and they're trying to do something, and the first time, whatever they're trying to do, it doesn't go right, then you should understand that you have a house nigger involved or in the midst. And sometimes you just may have to have the first, maybe have a board, okay? And not all 19 could be on a board. Maybe have first five, you know, the first five that came together with the idea. And you have to vet them and see if those are people that's going to have your back. And just listen to what they say. Sometimes you can listen to find out what type they are. You can listen to the words coming out of their mouth. So if they said, oh, yeah, me and my friend Amanda, and if they got too many white folks backing them, then you already know they're safe. They're not a threat to white folks. That's why you got so, just like when I see black folks, like, trying to run for office, and I see a lot of white folks backing them, I already know, because I'm going to tell you what, if I was running for office, I wouldn't have a whole lot of white folks backing me. Because I wouldn't have nothing to say to them. I'm not going to run for mayor and do anything for them. I'm going to do it for my people first, just like white folk do for their people. And we are so afraid to say that. No, I'm not going to sit up here and lie. Just like Carmela Harris said, I'm not going to do anything just for black people now. So that means she ain't going to do nothing for black folk, period. But guess what? Yes, I'm going to do for my people, just like the Acosta, the senator in New York, what she said, Latino first. What did that tell you? That meant that she was Mexican or just what she said. First. They come first. That's what she meant. Okay, so they said, yeah, I'm B1 first. And that's all I have to say. And that means that I'm going to look out for my own and I'm going to take care of just like Carmela here. If she's Indian first, y'all better believe that lady is Indian first. Who Who's she going to watch out for? She is going to watch out for her Indian family members because of the fact she's Indian first, because she's mad at her dad because her dad and her are not getting along, okay? So that's why all the men went to jail in California that she put in jail because of her little lack of relationship that she's having with her dad, okay? So therefore, a lot of men, she's taken out that relationship issue with her dad onto these black men, and until she fixed that dad issue, she will not ever do anything for black folks. She does not like her dad, so therefore she does not like black people, but she looks like us, but she's not one of us. Y'all have to understand and be able to recognize that just because she looks like us does not mean that she has a heart for us, and you can tell that by her record, and her record when it comes to black folks sucks, family. So we can never forget this. We can never, 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 never forget the NBA. We can look at the NBA, the NFL, and how all of it, and the entertainment, okay? Let's look at Nick Cannon, okay? Let's look at the entertainment. They could have done so much for themselves, all of this money that they had. They could have put group economics, put their monies together, and went out and did their own studios. They could have had their own basketball team, their own football team. I'm just saying, why would you stay up under white supremacy so long and not do anything for yourself? Now everything is shut down. This is the time that they're smart to start creating their own team, so when it's time that they can come back out and play, that they'll have some black teams. I'm just saying, this is a reset, you guys. Family. This is a reset right now. If you are not into Bitcoin and you're buying your silver, you are crazy. You are supposed to be into Bitcoin right now. Though I don't do a whole lot of it, just for a minute, until you see it going down. When you see it going down, you pull out. But my thing is now, you buy your silver. I'm just saying, I'm trying to remind you guys, your weapon, your silver, and your passport. You need to have those three. That's very important. And also food and shelter and, you know, water and all that stuff. But I want us to start recognizing, because people talk black and they look black. Let's watch Carmella. Let's watch what, look at her record. That'll show you how black she is. What does she do in her journey for black people? Just like half of the black caucus, they don't have a B1 heart. They don't care one iota about black folk. They don't even put anything on. They won't put one law on the book for us. Yes, Karen Bass talks about it. Yes, Sheila Jackson talks. You know, they may tweet, oh, I'm sick of looking at black folks. And when I see tweets like that from them, I go, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix the issue? Why are you continuously telling us that you fed up with this and you fed up with that, but I don't see any laws on the book? You're the one that can make the laws up, and I don't see any on the book for black folks. I guess they say, well, if we vote for Biden, then we'll get some laws on the books. I don't think you're going to get any laws on the books then, because at least put one or two on the books now to let us know that you, in good faith, that if we voted for you, that you would continue looking out for us. Because I tell people, I say, our vote is up for sale, but we as black folks have to start voting as a block. And now we're so divided, right? You got black Republicans, we got black Democrats. I remember one thing that Claude Anderson said. He said, vote as a block, never separate yourself. And what do you see among black folks? We have separated ourselves, and we are voting all over the place. We got independents, we got Republicans, we got Democrats, we're all over the place. Why not bring our votes together and vote for one person, but it's somebody that we put together, that we put up, that we can, because I think that now with this new city and stuff, that we can have our own government. They can have their own mayor. They can have their own congressperson. They can have their own sheriff's department. They can have their own hospital. They can have their own everything. They don't have to, and I believe that the government should have always had two of everything, one for black folk and one for white folk. Let me do my white folk, because guess what? It should have been like that. It never should have changed. We had our own government. We had our own baseball team, remember? We had our own movie theaters. We had our own everything. But we gave up everything to go and get with these devils, and they treated you like dogs. You gave up going to your black-owned restaurant to go and eat. I'm not even going to say what they was putting in our food. I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to just be quiet and hold it. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't think it was nothing good what you was eating when you was forcing yourself. You're going to force them to take your money. You're going to force them to let you sit in their restaurants. You're going to force them to go back there and cook your food, and you couldn't see what they was doing to it, but you ate it? Are you crazy? Oh, my God. That's right there. Just
hurt my stomach thinking about what was in our food. What was in our food? What do you think was in our food? How many times did they drop it on the floor? How much spit was you drinking in your drink? How much whatever was you drinking in your milkshake when they made a milkshake for you? I'm just saying, you guys, that didn't make no sense, no kind, no way, no shape, no how, for us to beg them to take our money, to fix our food, to allow us to sit at their restaurants, to sit in their restaurants, even till today, when you have even incidents like that that are happening today. Why are you going back there? And I asked one lady, I said, are you going back to Victoria's Secret? She had an issue with Victoria's Secret, right? And I asked her, so are you going back there to shop? You know what? I'm sorry, you guys. I just got off work. Please forgive me. You know what she said? She said, yeah, I'll go back. I think I'll go back. And I'm like, why? Why would you patronize somebody that don't know how to treat you? Why would you force them to take your money? Why would you force them to allow you to sit at their restaurants? Why would you force them to fix you a meal? Why would you force them to do anything for you? I don't understand that theory. It just behooves me. I can't get it in my head. I wouldn't have never did that. I would have been like, I'm not going to make them take my money. I am not going to force you to take my money, my hard-earned money. I'm going to force you to take it. I'm not doing it. I would have went back to my black-owned restaurant. And I would have went and stayed in my little black hospital, because guess what? I think that things would have been a whole lot different than they are now. I think we would have been at a better state of mind. I think it wouldn't have been so much trauma. I think that we would have been able to allow to heal being amongst each other and depending on one another. And I think when we included other people, other races, other enemies amongst us and called them friends, and then when they started to treat us bad, we just didn't understand. We didn't know how to cut them off. I think we were so busy trying to be friends with them that no matter what they did, we were fine. No matter what they said, we were fine. No matter how what they thought or how they portrayed, they were fine. And I think that's the problem now, okay? And that's still the problem, and it's going to be a problem for a long time. Because we have been hoodwinked. They've pretended for a long time. They've acted like they liked us. They acted like they care. They acted like racism was gone and we would see it. And because they didn't acknowledge, we kind of ignored it. We kind of pushed it aside. We kind of, you know, even now I saw a 12-year-old. Oh, my God, I needed to talk about that little 12-year-old girl. Oh, my goodness, I need to look her up. It was a 12-year-old young lady, a little baby, who was beat up really, oh, my God. I got to bring this up to you guys just for a minute. I'm not going to talk a lot about it. It was a 12-year-old. She was beat up by a 12-year-old. No, that's not it. Hold on. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe. Hold on, I got this. Hold on, I'm going to, here she is. I want to show you a picture, and I want to read it. It was a 12-year-old little girl, and she was beat up by a little white boy, and because he was saying some stuff like, he was, you know, calling her the N-word and stuff, and she began to tell, you know, begin to say, that my black is beautiful, my black is beautiful. And I guess he went home and got a knife. Then he went home and got a gun. He had a knife first. Then he went home and got a pole. I'm sorry, a pole. And I'm going to try to show the picture. Hit her with the pole, knocked her out, and knocked her tooth out. They didn't want to arrest him.
the family has to beg them to arrest the little boy. And after the little boy was arrested, he came up to say, the family member said, well, we forgive. You know, we don't want him to get in trouble. We want, I wanted to picture this little girl. We just want the little boy to get some help. My thing is, you cannot retrain. You cannot rehabilitate a racist. That's why when people say all the time, oh, we want the police to be trained, or we want retraining for the police, there, it's impossible to retrain a racist how not to be racist. It's impossible for a child to continuously being taught negative things about black people, and then you turn around and try to retrain, okay, him not to be what you trained him to be. I remember one incident where a little boy, he was 17, so he wasn't a little boy, he had gotten into some trouble, and his parents said, that's not how we were raised. So the therapist began to ask the parents some questions, and they asked him, well, who was he raised around? And they said, oh, for the summers, he would go to grandma and grandpa. And therapist asked, well, were they racist? You know, did they talk about black people? And what was the conversation? And how was your parents growing up? That's what they ended up asking the person, I guess the dad. And the dad said, well, yeah, they were, you know, racist as I grew up. But that's what he was around for a summer. Even a summer can change a child's life, being around people, being around negative people, being around, it can change a person's behavior. And people don't understand that just even being in the atmosphere with those racist grandparents, okay, rubbed off, because he could have looked up to grandpa, and that's all grandpa talked about was how, you know, black people were, they weren't this and they weren't that. So that was a 17-year-old did something horrible, and the parents was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I'm like, well, yeah, because that's what he was around for the whole summer. Even though you were his parents, but sometimes kids don't tend to listen to parents. They listen to other people that aren't their parents, right? And if he really looked up and spent a lot of time with his grandpa, and what grandpa said went, and he really, you know, didn't see any wrong in grandpa's eyes, you know, him and grandpa had a great relationship. So a lot of grandpa rubbed off on him. So he began to believe how grandpa believed, okay? So this, I said that to say this, because sometimes we're teaching our children some things, or somebody else around them is teaching our children, and we don't even understand that what they're saying is impacting our child's mind frame and their heart. And just by that grandparent being racist, that 17-year-old picked up on that grandparent's racism, and he ran with it. So we have to understand that. I also seen a story where this KKK lady, and she was marching, and she was talking to a black person, and she said, and she was talking about how disgusted she was by the black people. And I got a granddaughter, and she said, I have a grandchild, and their grandchild was 12 or something like that, and I'm going to teach her. No, the grandchild was like 5 or 6. And she said, I am going to make sure that I pass this hatred down to him or her, and that I teach her how to hate you just like I hate you. So we have to understand that a lot of this hate and a lot of this anger and a lot of this racism is passed down from generation to generation. So we have to start teaching our children accordingly about how to recognize and what to do, say, when they are coming up with racism. How are they to act? What are they to say? How are they supposed to, you know, portray themselves? What do they do when they meet a person that's calling them niggas? What are they supposed to do when they meet a person that's, you know, treat them bad because they're black, and they know it's because they're black? But my thing is, we as black folk have to start calling them out when we see and when we know that that's what they're doing. Stop saying it's, oh, it has nothing to do with race, because it does. And that parent and those parents, that little 9-year-old said it out of their mouth that it had nothing to do with race when it had everything to do with race. Okay? So we have to start calling this mess out when we see that what they're doing is wrong, okay? When we see that it does have something to do with color, we need to say it, okay? You guys, I did find that cash out for those for the 19 families. So if anybody wants to give money, it's the cash app is $90. Okay. BAF. Oh shoot! Wait a minute. I better be sure of that. Oh Lord, I better be sure of that. Oh Lord, God, I better be sure of that. Lord have mercy. Hold on. Don't take that one, you guys. Hold on. Let me pull them up because I don't want to give you the wrong thing because I can't read my writing. Oh, Lord. I'm like, hold on, is that a 90 work? Oh, Lord, I think that's what it is, but hold on, I'm going to look it up to see, seriously. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe this. I am so upset about this. I know it's called the Black Achievement Fund, the Black Achievement Fund. You can look that up. I'm going to look it up now and see if I can find them on IG, okay? And it's called... I don't think I'm going to be able to go in there because I got me on. So I'm going to take me off there. The Black Achievement. Fund. Let me see if I can find it. Black Achievement. Find them. I am so upset I can't find them. Okay, you guys. Just go under the Black Achievement Fund. Okay. And if you go up under that, then they'll give you the cash app because I tried to find it, tried to pull it up, and I couldn't pull it up, the cash app. I thought I had it, but I don't. I do have something, but I don't know if that's, I don't want to give you the wrong one. I'm so disappointed. I was so upset because I should have had it. Let me see if I can get it another way. Because, like I said, I think this is a really great idea. BAF. I'm trying to see if that's it. Let me go to that. BAF. I didn't put it in my phone. I thought I put it in my phone, but I didn't. Okay, you guys. Just go up under the Black Achievement Fund and you should be able to pull it up. That way you'll be able to donate. You know, this is helping out our people, okay, to be able to build what they need to be building. I'll try one more thing and see if I can get it that way. Because I think this is important, and I had it written down, but like I said, I can't even read mine right now. I can't believe that. Oh, my goodness. I'm so crazy with that. Okay, the mission, the program, services, leadership, I do see it. Okay, it is on Instagram, so, yeah, you can pull it up in Instagram to be able to donate to them. Should be able to do it. And I should think you could always write them a message and ask them what it is, what's their IG number or their cash app. I don't see it on here. Nope, I don't see it on here. But they are on Instagram, okay, and you can always send them a message. $1 billion in a year. followed by Freeman. Okay. Well, yeah, you can go in under the Black Achievement Fund, and then you can send them a message and find out more as far as how do you support them, okay? Because I think this is a really good thing to do. Yeah, but I just wanted to mention about the, you know, just, I hope I said something, you guys, to help you to recognize, you know, how to recognize the House Negro and the Field Negro. And because, like I said, I really believe that we're not recognizing, we're not being able to tell them apart. So we're just trusting them because they're Black. And that's really just like the Gilliam. Remember Gilliam and Stacey Abrams? They look Black, but they're part of the Boule. So, again, you vote for them in government, I don't think they're going to do anything for Black folk because they're so sold out by the, you know, white folk have trained them. They vetted them. And for me, for Gilliam, the guy, I do believe that he was set up. Because that's what they do. If they know that you're a threat, and I do believe that he almost won governor of Florida, and I do believe that he was going to run again, and I think that's why they, even though that was probably who he was, you know, he had some issues, and if those issues are not taken care of, white folks will destroy you with your own issues. Even though they have issues, they will destroy you with yours, okay? They can do what they want to do. When it comes to you, they will take your downfall and to try to destroy, and will destroy you with it. And that's what they did with him. They pretty much have destroyed him as far as him running ever again against the whoever's in there now, which is a racist. That's one of Trump's buddy. But I think they did that in order to stop him from running again. So this guy would have as much time as he wants to run and do whatever he wants to do in Florida. Because I really do believe that that guy that won in Florida didn't lose by many points. But in order to make sure that Gilliam never runs again or his political career is jacked up or messed up, then that's why they did what they did, okay? Because they didn't really have to let that out like that if they didn't want to. But in order to humiliate him, that's what he had to go through in order. And they could be using that in order to, you know, they could have used it, gotten him in there, and pretty much had him, you know, out of balls to do what they wanted him to do. Because that's usually what they do. They'll get some dirt on you. And they'll, you know, just like Obama, they, you know, I'm sure Obama was vetted. I'm sure they pick and chose him. He got in there and he did do as far as the LGBT, and they wanted him to legalize LGBT, and that's what he did. And that's what he, you know, the person that was backing him, that's what he wanted. In order for me to back you, this is what I need from you, and that's exactly what Obama gave him. So, yeah, when we get in office, they own us. Okay, and that's like just like the entertainment. We were talking about the entertainment. They own them. Okay, they can't sing. Nick Cannon couldn't come on there and say what he wanted to say about those fake Jews, could he? And a whole lot of Black folk can't come on there and sing what they want to sing. They have to sing what they tell them to because they own them. Nick Cannon, and now they know that they own Nick Cannon, so that's why they keep on doing what they're doing. And now, oh, we'll give you a radio station back now, but you're going to still have to do it our way. My thing is, dude, you've made them billions of dollars. Why? He said, I made them $1 billion. I'm looking at you, fool. Why would you not make yourself $1 billion? You made them $1 billion. But you can't catch none of that. You don't own any of the rights to that. So why would you build their empire and you didn't build your own? So now you have to do what they want you to do. You have to say what they want you to say, act the way they want you to act. And if you don't, they're going to snatch everything away. Are you serious? Come on. So we're not that. We are not this dumb, I know. Just like the Chinese do it, the Chinese aren't forced to vote. Nobody is forced to vote but Black folks. Why? Everybody has their own. Everybody has look at the economics they're making in this society. They got their flows. They got their funds. They're doing what they need to do, and they're taking care of one another, and they're doing well, and they're in our communities, okay? And this is what pisses me off. You see them in our communities, and you won't even run them Chinese out. By you opening up a business, you opening up a mom-and-pa store on the corner, and we support that mom-and-pa store on the corner, and we run those Chinese out of business. Come on, you guys. We can do better than this. We're much better than this. But I want to see us starting to come together, and I want us to start coming together and supporting each other. Let's do it totally different than what we've been doing. I keep telling people, until we come together and we save us. Nobody is going to save us but us. It is going to take us saving us. Nobody is going to be able to do this but us, and you know that. So what are we waiting for? We have to do this for us, okay? I just want us to get to the point where we're doing things different, that we're not doing things the same way we've been doing and getting the same results, because we've been voting and getting the same results, nothing. We've been backing, you know, we're diehard Democrats, and we can't get the Democrats to do anything for us. But then people say, well, what about Trump? Trump is, we don't expect Trump to do anything for us because we're not Republicans, but we are Democrats, and we expect the Democrats to at least do something for you, and they won't even put anything on the table for you. They ignore you until 4 years. Every 4 years, they come back and say, can I have your vote? And then ignore you to the next 4 years. Then they come back and look at you, can I have your vote? Not saying I'm going to do anything for you, not saying I'm going to give you anything, not saying anything about you, won't even mention your issues, won't even stop police brutality, and you're dying in Biden's face and Carmelo's face. Nobody said, well, this is what I would do about the police, what they tell you. We're not going to defund or dismantle the police. We're going to just leave it as it is. My thing is, Biden, we're putting you in. We want you to do this for us as far as the police, and if you don't, then guess what? You don't get our vote. But that's not what we're saying. We've not even asked Carmelo them, do they even have a vote? Do they even have a plan for us? Do they even, what's your plan? What's your black agenda? What are you going to do? We've not even requested anything. But, well, we got a black woman, so we're good. She's black. She might look black, but she ain't black. That girl, that woman is more Indian than black. Because guess why? Her mom is Indian. So guess who's going to get her attention? The Indians is going to get more of her attention than black folk. Because that's who she sways more to, the Indians. She's already doing for me in California. Because that's where she's from. Look at how she treats Indians in California. She got programs for them. She got stuff for them. She's working there. And she's doing good for them Indians in California. She's making it happen for them, baby. But I'm just saying. So, with that said, family, I do appreciate each and every person that took their time to visit, to come by and just spend time. And we chatting it up. I do appreciate this. I do appreciate you guys even liking and sharing. Make sure you like and share. And pass it on. Pass the video on to your friends. And just make sure you go and support the Black Achievement Fund also. Make sure you go and support our own, okay? I think we really have said enough about that. Tune in next Thursday. I may try to do next Tuesday. I'm not sure. I've been trying to do Tuesdays, but I don't know. But I know for sure on Thursdays I'll come in. I'm trying to do more, you know, more shows. So maybe we will get back to Tuesdays. I know the last two Tuesdays I have not, because I had family visiting. So, I'm trying to wait until I get them off, and then I'll be back on Tuesdays. But I do appreciate everybody that has come in and commented and, you know, just listened. Maybe I've, you know, given you something to think about. Maybe I've put something on your heart. If you're going to stay in America, get you some family that can come together with you. And that can support, you know, that you have like minds and you build something together. I think that'll be just like they did. They built what they wanted to see. They built what they wanted to see in America. And they didn't take no for an answer. And they're making that thing happen. And I think more people can do it. But if you put your mind to it and you get your people together and you have like-minded people, it can be done. So with that said, you guys, I want you guys to have a great week on purpose. Weekend's coming up. Be safe out there. Practice your weapons. Get your silver. Get your passport. Make sure you got a little extra food, water, okay? And think about what the future, what's in it, what's the future going to be like for you. If all of this shut down today, what's it going to look like for you? Okay? But that's it. Peace, family. You guys have an amazing day on purpose. Peace. All right, Blog Talk, I appreciate you. You guys have an amazing night, and we'll come back and see you on next Thursday. Peace.